Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilfin, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
But if you're a king and you see a wife that you like, knowing that the law says you can't take another man's wife, this is what they would do. Because they cannot take a woman that's already married, here's what the king would do. If she's married, the king kills the husband. And now he says, oh, she's not married anymore. Come.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope. We often hear people share their story of how they found God, how they were seeking truth and discovered it in Jesus Christ. Well, it's true, many of us were looking for God, but in reality, we didn't find Him. He found us. You see, He's not the one who was lost. We were. The Bible puts it this way. It says that He went out to seek and to save that which was lost. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The God Who Seeks Us.
How many of you remember the fire drills in grade school? You'd have to go out into the playground. Remember how many? Raise your hand. We go out there and we hear the bell. We run out to the playground. We know. You know, we were preparing for an unknown. Yep, it wasn't that long ago. Now, we also prepare when you take a cruise, you go up to the lifeboat areas, you put on the life vests, remember those? And then also, every time we fly, there is preparing for the unknown. A flight attendant comes out and gives safety instructions because of what may happen. The funniest one is this. She'll say, in the unlikely event of a water landing. Now think of those words, water landing. Sure, you have 50 tons of metal screaming at the ocean at 400 miles an hour. The water becomes now like concrete. You ain't gonna land on nothing. It's not a water landing. You're just gonna crash in the ocean. And in the unlikely case of a water landing, the life vests are under your seat. You don't need a life vest. You're dead. But an unlikely, we don't know, but yet you're gonna prepare for it. It's all right. We do that in life. In fact, from the past, there's a man named David that's going to give us some safety briefings today of some unknowns that may take place and how to prepare for them. Now, David was an interesting fellow. A few years ago, my wife Anna and I went to Florence, Italy, and there we went to a museum where we saw the sculpture of Michelangelo's David. Looms 18 feet high. Out of solid stone, beautiful carving. And I looked at that and I thought, it's fitting to carve him 18 feet tall. It was fitting because David was a giant of a man. I mean, if you think about it, you combine the military genius of an Alexander the Great with the political savvy of an Abraham Lincoln. Combined with that, the musical talent of a Beethoven, the hand-eye coordination of a Joe Montana, and you add to that the genius of a Leonardo da Vinci, and you have a man called David. But I think his greatest magnitude was his obsession with God. Oh, he loved God. He said, one thing I've asked of the Lord, one thing that I seek, that I might behold the beauty of the Lord and meditate in his temple. I mean, that's what he wanted to do. One thing. I mean, if you can ask God for one thing, what would it be? And that's what he asked. Just to know God more. But David had more than one obsession. Not only did he have an obsession with God, he also had an obsession with lust. He struggled with pride. He had a problem with his son Absalom and some family dissonance that took place. And even after the incident with Bathsheba and adultery, he hid that sin by trying to cover it up by killing or murdering her husband Uriah the Hittite. But yet, God calls him a man after my own heart. I say, well, wait a minute. How can that be? You know, I think one of the most beautiful scriptures is found in Psalm 119, where David knew that he wasn't all that other people thought he was cracked up to be. He knew that he had a tendency to crash. Because you see, in the unlikely event of a water landing, obviously none of us have gone through any of that, so it's pretty unlikely. However, in life, crashes are not unlikely. They're inevitable. You'll have crashes in your family. Maybe this year there'll be a fender bender or a crash in relationships at work. could be with your marriage, could be with church, could be with your faith, but we will have a few crashes. How do we prepare for them? How do we prepare for the unknown? Well, David knew that he loved God, but he also knew he was frail. So he cries out to God, and one of the most beautiful scriptures that I know in Psalm 119. Let's read it together. It's at the top of our notes. Let's read it. Go. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Oh, he says, God, I wander like a lost sheep. I have a tendency to wander. But please, and here's the neat part, seek your servant. Lord, when I'm lost, will you please find me? Will you please come after me? Will you please look for me and grab me before I go too far? And I thought, man, that is a cry of desperation, but a cry of confidence. Because you see, when David said, God, I wander like a lost sheep, seek your servant. He wasn't intentionally trying to sin and say, hey, by the way, I'm going to sin, God, so, you know, kind of hang on to me. No. No, his heart had already been thrown over the line for God. There were no side doors. There were no back doors. There were no other options but God. He was already fully committed. His heart was not to intend on sinning, but he does say, God, I know I'm frail as a sheep. And should I crash, should I stray, please find me. Please look for me. Please come after me as quickly as possible. I thought, what a precious prayer to pray. You see, here's how it is. This is before Christ, and then this is after coming to know Christ in my life. Now, watch this. Before I came to know Christ, I sinned, but I loved it. I'd look forward to sinning. I would actually plan for the weekends to sin. And I would sin, and I loved it. But then I came to know Christ right here. And you know what? Not as frequently, but I still blow it. I still sin. But here it is. I sinned before and I sin after. But here's the difference. Before Christ, I sinned and I loved it. Now if I sin, I hate it. I just hate it. I'm trying my best and then I run into a relationship and I say something that I shouldn't have said. And, oh, I just hate that. Lord, why do I do that? And you see, what changes is not necessarily your performance overnight, your behavior overnight. No, but I tell you what does change. Not your performance right away, but I tell you what changes right away. Your heart changes right away. Isn't that right? Your heart is transformed. And David says, you know, if your heart is a heart after God, that's going to be your safety line. Because you see, if I choose to turn my heart away from God and say, if you don't help me, then I'm not going to serve you. No. David says, your heart needs to be thrown over the line already. Yeah, you're going to make mistakes, not because you intend to, no, but because you unintend to, or it's unintentional. David, like many of us, didn't sin because he was evil. We mess up because we're frail. And I've seen that again and again with many of God's people. They don't mess up because they're evil. They mess up because we're frail. And so I say, well, David, you've gone through all of that. You've gone through the crashing and the burning with Bathsheba and Uriah and with Absalom and the rest. What would you say? How can we prepare so that we can too cry out to God? God, I'm wandering like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. Where do you get that kind of confidence to just say that to God without feeling that you're compromising? David, where do you get that confidence? Oh, the last phrase, for I have not forgotten your commandments. Which means your laws are still written in my heart and I've thrown my heart over the line. So I can have the confidence to say, God, when I stray, please seek after me. Please do. Grab me before I go too far. So David, what would you say to us? Here's what he would say. Number one, would you write down, keep your heart clean. Keep your heart clean. Do everything you can to keep a clean heart. Because once I lose that, then I am intending to sin. I redefine what sin is and make it acceptable so I can be fine with it. But that's a heart issue. Keep your heart clean. And that's what the Bible calls integrity of heart. Oh yeah, we're going to mess up. But if our hearts are hearts of integrity, God will catch us and seek us and bring us back, not because our performance is so good, no, because our hearts are right with Him. And when you have a heart of integrity, you're really wanting what's best. You're wanting what's best for God, and you're open to His correction, but still we will stumble. If our heart is a heart of integrity, a whole heart for God, then that's your lifeline back. Keep a clean heart and do everything you can to check and evaluate and make sure your heart is good, as best you know how. There's a story in Genesis chapter 20. There's a guy whose name was King Abimelech. Now, King Abimelech was king of Gerar. And now when Abraham and Sarah came out of, Abraham came out of the Chaldees and he married Sarah. Now, in her younger years, she must have been a babe. She must have been foxy lady. Because this king, when he sees her, his eyeballs go gaga over her. Now, here's something that's interesting. In those days, you were not, it was just a law, you don't take another man's wife. That was a universal law. You just don't do it. But if you're a king and you see a wife that you like, knowing that the law says you can't take another man's wife, this is what they would do. Because they cannot take a woman that's already married, here's what the king would do. If she's married, the king kills the husband. And now he says, oh, she's not married anymore. Come. You see, so now Abraham comes into this land and he knows his wife is a babe. So they make a deal. If the king likes you, like looks at you and goes, ga, ga, then you tell the king that I'm not your husband. Tell him I'm your brother. She said, what? Yeah, and I'll say you're my, like my sister. That way I save my life just in case he goes, ga, ga. Well, they come into Gerar and the king goes, ga, ga. Whoa, what a babe. And Abraham, yeah, she's my sister. Your sister? Yeah, oh, he's my brother. Your brother? Please come in and adds her to his harem. Now, before he touches her, he is asleep that night and God speaks to him in a dream. And God says, this is all in Genesis 20. And God, this is what the scripture says. You're a dead dog. Kind of like that. I mean, he sort of says that. Now, I'll tell you what it really says. He says this, you're a dead man, Abimelech. And in the dream, Abimelech carries on a conversation with God. And he says, what do you mean? God says, you have another man's wife. Whoa, whoa, she's not another man's wife. I was talking to Abraham. And what did he say? Let's read about his conversation right in your notes. Go. Did he not himself say to me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. Watch this. In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this. Ah. Now, what did God reply? Here it is. Then God said to him in the dream, yes, I know that in the integrity of your heart, you have done this. And I also kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Because if he had, he'd be dead by God. God would have nailed him. So Abimelech says, in the integrity of my heart, I wasn't intending to do something wrong like this. And God said, yep, I know your heart. And I know the integrity of your heart. And so you're going to make mistakes. But if your heart is good, God will say to you, that's why I kept you from going over the edge. That's what gave me the in your life so that I can hold you from going too far to keep you from sinning. God always looks at our heart because that's what brings us back. Do you remember with Simon Peter? When Simon Peter had denied the Lord three times, Simon Peter didn't have a bad heart. His heart was good. But under the pressure of the moment, for the fear of getting arrested, the shame and the humility of it all, just because of fear, he denies God to this slave girl and then feels terrible about it to the point where he's just beside himself. That when it's all done, he actually goes back to Galilee and goes back to his hometown and goes back to what he used to do, fishing. So after Jesus is crucified, He's fishing up in Galilee. He just left it all. But if you recall, Jesus in his resurrected state appears and he's on the shores of Galilee and he's cooking fish. Do you remember Peter? He jumps in the water and swims to the shore, drenched, wet. He sits across from Jesus and his eyes must have been as wide as saucers. Wow, this is Jesus. And Jesus is cooking fish. Now you notice what he does. Does he confront Peter with his behavior? No. He says, Peter, do you, remember what he said? What did he say? Do you what? Do you love me? Yeah. And Peter said, but Lord, I denied you. No, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. In other words, he says, because of your heart being good, that's your way home. That's the beginning of healing. No, your heart is good, the Lord says. I know your heart, so come. And so God looks at hearts. And when our heart is good, though we might crash, though we might go off, we can say, Lord, seek your servant. And God says, because of the integrity of your heart, because your heart's good, I'm going to keep you from going over the edge. Because you see, if it were us, if we were the Lord, we would have confronted him with his performance, wouldn't he? Wouldn't we? We'd say, hey, turkey, how come you did that to me? Look at me, look at me. Yeah, no. Instead, he said, your heart is good, Peter. It's time for you to come home. See, the first thing that David would say to us, I know, keep your heart clean. And when you do mess up, because what I did with Bathsheba and Uriah, here's his second advice. When you mess up, don't hide. Instead, take refuge in him. Don't hide. Instead, take refuge in the Lord. Because you see, when you hide stuff, it eats away at your guts. There will be physical consequences. Because God did not create us to do well with hidden sin, tolerated, taking up residence inside. No, don't hide. It'll kill you. He didn't create you to have that hidden in you. Instead, take refuge or fall on the mercy of God. In fact, let's read what Psalm 32 says about the physical consequences when we're silent about sin. Let's read it. Go. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat. Now here's the gear change. Now watch this. Go. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Oh, you see, don't hide. Take refuge in him. And when you take refuge in him, will he condemn you? Oh, no. It's almost like running into the arms of a strong father who loves you dearly, and someone is chasing you to nail you or to hit you or something. And when you run into his arms, he puts his arms around you and says, don't touch him. He says to the devil, don't mess with him. He's taking refuge in me. And you see, on your own, you will be susceptible to the wiles of the enemy. But taking refuge in the Lord, falling on his mercy, saying, Lord, I'm just going to fall on your mercy. And God puts his arms around you and says to the devil, don't mess with him. He's taking refuge. And that's what the Bible says. Let's read this next scripture together. Go. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them. Why? Because they take refuge in him. Yeah. You see, we don't know what's happening in this next year. And there will be times we'll crash here, or crash there. Do we prepare for it? You can, by keeping your heart clean. Prepare for those from the one who gives us instructions, the one whose name is David, who went through all of this. And he would say, hey, listen, when you do make a mistake, would you write in your next bullet there, let Jesus deal with your sin, not the devil. Because you're going to mess up. Oh, no, it's not an excuse to tolerate waywardness. No. No, but we know that we're frail, we'll stumble and fumble, even though your heart's right. But when you do, let Jesus deal with your sin, not the devil. Because someone's going to deal with your sin. Even if you hide it, then if you do, the devil will deal with it. And he'll kill you with it. Because the wages of sin is death. But when we take refuge in the Lord, he protects. Let's read this next beautiful promise in Psalm 34. Go. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And the next promise, another great one, go. The Lord redeems the souls of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be. Yeah. See, God holds us from going over the edge because he knows our heart is good and we run to him, not hide things. We run to him. And if that's our heart, then God says, I will protect you from going over the edge, like he said to Abimelech. I know your heart. That's why I kept you from sinning. Oh, Lord. So when I stray, would you seek your servant, keep me from going over the edge? Absolutely. I remember when Aaron was a little boy, he was just about 2 years old. He was walking good, but he would start to run. He would trip over stuff because he'd get overly energetic. And Anna would be on one side and I'd be on the other. And we'd hold his hand. And we'd be walking and he'd be kind of running and it's just very light because we're holding him up. And then he'd hit a curb or something and he'd stumble and we just pull him up 5 feet in the air and he just, woo, it's like, wow, this is cool. And he would stumble, but if he hadn't held onto our hand, bang, he'd hit his nose on the cement. But because he had hold of our hands, he'd stumble, but he wouldn't fall headlong. And that's exactly what the scripture says. You keep a hold of the Lord's hand. In everything you do, don't let go of his hand to make sure that everything I do has his blessings and his direction, because I don't want to let go of his hand. In fact, here's what the scripture says. Let's read this next one in Psalm 37. Go. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Isn't that beautiful? The Lord's the one who holds my hand. And so here's the word, the Hebrew word, he will not be hurled headlong, that phrase. You know what that means? It means that when you hold on to God's hand, you might stumble, but here it is, but you will not be permanently scarred. That's what that word means. Let me finish with this story. One of the things that scares me the most are roller coasters. I don't know if you like them, but I don't like them. I don't like anything that grabs my stomach and stuffs it into my sinus cavities. I just don't like that feeling. And I got off of one. We had gone with our kids a few years ago to Disneyland. And I got off of that roller coaster in Disneyland. I was just queasy, just ready to throw up. And Aaron says, Dad, let's go on this one. This next one is better yet. I said, not on your life. He said, you woman. I said, I don't care. I don't care what you call me. I'll wear nylons. They don't bother me. He said, come on, Dad, come on. I said, no, you go yourself. He said, it's not fun to go by myself. Come on. I said, man, look at my arms. My arms are hurting from hanging on so much. He says, you know what, Dad? It's because you're not leaning into it. I said, what do you mean lean into it? He says, yeah, if the coaster is going right, like just lean into it. And man, you just go right with it. It's a lot easier. You're fighting it. So you hate it and it's making you get jostled all over the place. Just lean into it. I said, yeah, and you just die faster. That's all. He said, no, Dad, trust me. You just got to lean into it. If it's going left, lean into it. So he had convinced me to the point where I thought, let's just go for it. So we rode on another one and it starts its clicking thing. You know how it's going up, click, 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 click. It's just forever, click, 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 click. And then I was remembering a song my mother used to sing to me. What goes up? And man, that thing came screaming down. And I thought, I started yelling, I'm going to die. And my son says, no, Dad, lean into it. So I was going right. So I just leaned into it. Woo, man, I thought, oh, that was fun. And left, lean, woo. Man, we just went through that thing and it was just the funnest time. Before I knew it, it had come to a conclusion. I got out of that thing. That thing was fun. Woo, man, it was so cool. And I thought, you know what? We don't have all the knowns down. There are some unknowns. But the confidence that we have in keeping a heart that's clean as best we know how, mix it with truth so that wrong conclusions don't take up residence. Don't let it. If it doesn't fit with the word, just don't let it take up residence. And with that in mind, we can lean into the turns. Amen. Let's do that.
You have just heard a message entitled The God Who Seeks Us by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
New Hope Oahu is excited to announce open enrollment for its preschool, Kulia Christian Academy, located at New Hope Oahu's Sand Island campus. Limited spaces available for the current school year for students ages 3 through 5. KCA is also accepting applications for the 2023-2024 school year and will be adding a two-year-old program in the fall 2023. KCA is an affordable full-day program that strives to inspire and equip children to grow academically, socially, and spiritually in a Christ-centered environment. For more information or to enroll your child, visit our website at kuliachristian.org.